Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good buddy Wayne Cruz is back with us. Wayne is a long-time member of our Brain Trust, almost an original member. He was with us within the first 12 months of being on the air. He joined our Brain Trust and has been a great addition to that group ever since. Wayne is Vice President for Policy and Director of Technology Studies and an outstanding organization I've been telling you about since really the very early days of the show, the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne is our good friend. Wayne, welcome back to the show.
Hey, you know it's my pleasure. And where are we going and why are we in this handbasket?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been thinking. Hey, Wayne.
We got to figure out how to save enterprise in the U.S., and we got a few ideas we need to talk about. So.
That's exactly what I wanted you. I was hoping you'd have some good news for us. I did an interview in the previous hour with Dave Kansas, who wrote the book "The End of Wall Street as We Know It," I asked him, Wayne, this question. I said, "Look, I know we've watched." We were observing the end of Wall Street as we know it. I don't think there's any question about that. That ship has sailed, at least as we have known it for generations. But I said this question. I said, is it reasonable to at least ask the question, are we watching the end of capitalism? What do you think?
Well, I got to say, I hope not. I feel like we're losing parts of it that we've got to get the foundations back.
But the question is reasonable to pose right now, isn't it?
It is reasonable to pose, and the link and it's tied to that question you asked him about Wall Street. It is not a good thing, and policymakers should not think it's a good thing when there are virtually no investment banks left in the U.S.
There are none. There are no
right.
Right.
So that is one of the most important ways of creating wealth, whatever the excesses of that sector, you see.
Right.
So
right.
The core function of what an investment bank does and what capitalism does is absolutely indispensable to wealth creation, job creation, formation of small spin-off businesses, small businesses, and so
but,
forth.
But we've done
that's
it's,
what's
it's,
critical.
It's
that's
not just that. It's not just that those companies aren't there anymore. It's actually almost worse, and that's that they either have been or they're about to be nationalized.
That's fearsome. And you know,
Well,
it's not such a big deal because we did things were done like this in Sweden. But Sweden could borrow money from other countries. Who would we borrow from?
Yeah.
If our banks are nationalized and go crazy, basically, Jim, the main thing is this. You can't stimulate your way out to prosperity if by stimulating you mean spending. What you do have to do is recognize what it is that is the source of wealth creation in the world and in this country. And you talk about it every day on your show, I'm sure.
Yep.
But it's small business and job creation.
That's right.
But it's also big business and job creation. And one of the functions of Wall Street and all capitalism is supposed to mean is a system where people who don't know each other can pull their resources together and do great things.
Mm-hmm. You know, division of labor, but division of capital.
You better believe it. It's division of all of the inputs into wealth creation into those things that end up creating jobs. And I would say this. Basically, the program that we see, the stimulus program, is one of bailouts of different companies. It's one of a lot of spending on a lot of infrastructure, and there are minor tax tweaks here and there. I think we at CEI, you know, our friends at Cato Institute, us at Competitive Enterprise Institute, and all the work we do on banking and finance and regulatory reform and all of those things, we almost see a mirror image of everything that's being done. You know, if you need to grow infrastructure, the way to do that is not to throw money there, but to say, my gosh, look at how we overregulate telecommunications and electricity mm-hmm. and water and sewer and rail and highway. why don't we tear down the regulatory walls between them and loosen antitrust?
But nobody's listening to that argument right now, Wayne, because they believe the government believes the reason they really truly believe, the people who are in charge of our government right now truly believe that the reason we have the problems we have right now is because there wasn't enough regulations.
Well, they say, a lot of them say that, and they try to convince the public of that. But even, Jim, when you watch the traditional cable news channels, you know, I'm not saying Fox News, which is regarded as being right versus others, MSNBC regarded as left, any of them, even the anchors are incredulous at a lot of what they're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
They were that way over the auto bailout. You know, the bailout was sold to us as a way of saying, and I think I talked to you on the show about it, but
yep.
The bailout was going to be a way of saying, well, we got to do this because if we don't, then the secondary manufacturer is going to be here looking for bailout too.
Hold on to that thought, Wayne. We got to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, one of the things Wayne and I are going to talk about is why isn't someone focusing on the real engine of this economy? You and me, small business owners. 22, stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And from there, you can find my blog. You can find my knowledge base, askjim.biz. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You got 5 seconds? We got something for you. You got 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever time you have. Whatever's on your mind, whatever topic is bugging you or threatening you or showing you an opportunity, under the Small Business Sun, we've got something that'll help you at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out. And if you're on Twitter, I'm on there too, JimBlassingame, twitter.com/JimBlassingame. Wayne Cruz is our guest. He's Vice President for Policy and Director of Technology Studies at Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Wayne, if I got your correct title these days?
Yeah, it's Vice President for Policy and Director of Technology Studies. I still do all that.
I just want to make sure I knew you were a mover, so mover and a shaker. Yeah. I want to make sure I didn't miss a promotion or anything to Emperor or Emperor Policy or something like that. Wayne, one of the things that I have been writing about and blogging about is the fact that that the government has spent billions of dollars trying to save a few hundred thousand jobs. But they've spent over $1 trillion on this last stimulus package. Virtually none of that is devoted to helping the largest job creator and the largest employer in America, and that's our small businesses. Now
right.
here's the question I ask in my blog, Wayne. What's wrong with that picture?
Everything is wrong with it, and I'll send you. I'll go on your blog and find that, and I'll send you one of my own blog posts about alternatives to this kind of predatory stimulus that we're doing now. The alternative.
Why do you call it predatory stimulus?
Because I see everything what's in a stimulus package, and this is not new to this recovery. This often happens in the political class, in the political sector. A lot of the things being done are unrelated to recovery, to economic recovery.
Like all this pork in the stimulus bill that will do nothing to create jobs.
That's right. None of this stuff, very very little of it, is related to economic recovery. This is stuff that has to do with districts and has to do with elections and all of that kind of thing.
It's Christmas all over again. It's Christmas in February for Congress.
That's right. But what I tried to propose is alternatives to this kind of fiscal stimulus and wealth-creating alternatives. One example I proposed in November, and Obama actually did this. As soon as his hand came off the Bible at inauguration, I said he needed to freeze regulations. Well, he did a piece of that, but all he did was freeze Bush regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cynical, whatever. But that idea, if you take that idea and expand it, I said you needed to freeze regulations, all regulations. You need to implement a regulatory reduction commission. All agencies, not just the recent actions, should freeze and review regulations. A bipartisan reduction commission should quickly go through and root out the rules that are most impacting small business. There should be tax freezes, marginal tax cuts. Those can even be retroactive. You could do retroactive marginal tax cuts to actually do the things that the stimulus intends to do. But there are a whole lot of ways of boosting small business. And earlier I mentioned the infrastructure angle. You know, what you've got to do is make sure that all of these great network industries can work together to actually put fiber to the home and do these things that are being talked about, which instead what's happening is new agencies and new commissions are being set up to do all of these things that the private sector is ready to jump on.
Anything that's right.
From toll roads to...
And that is going to be, that is going to contribute to endangering capitalism.
Well, the problem, what we've done is, well, the bubble collapsed, so what's the government doing? It's reinflating the bubble.
Yeah.
It's making it worse. And any economic intervention always ends badly. Most businesses, just the reality is everything has a life cycle, and most businesses will go through a life cycle, and they'll rise to prominence, and then they'll fade away. But a lot of times what government does in these investment projects, you know, I almost call it like building pyramids. You know, you can build a pyramid, you know, out in Kansas and create jobs from it, but it's not something that there's a demand for, and it's not something that's being driven by market impulses. What makes communication systems and transportation systems and ShamWows and, you know, all of these products get created is there's, you know, somebody spots a little bit of a demand for it. So the way that you do that is, rather than try to pick winners, you know, to run around the horse track, around the racetrack,
which is what the government is doing right now.
That's what the government's doing. You've got to do wholesale, I mean, root and branch tax and regulatory reform, so that everybody can run.
Whoever has an idea, whoever wants to take a risk, whoever has the best ideas can make it.
That's right, and you know, it's just a whole lot of.
But you would think right now, Wayne. You would think in listening to the government. Listen to the president, listen to Congress, you would think, and listen to the Treasury Department, listen to the Fed, you would think that there wasn't any such thing as a small business sector.
Oh, you wouldn't. You know what, your cheerleaders, I know you always have advocacy on the show, Small Business Advocacy Office, but I just did a blog post Sunday night to go out yesterday morning. On that very thing, on the idea that what needs to be done if you really want to stimulate an economy is to use programs like R3, the Reduce and Reform Regulation. I can't remember exactly what the R3 acronym stands for, but Reduce and Reform Regulation for the small business sector. But that needs to be something like put on the top shelf by Obama, not something that's just forgotten. The way it is, you know, is the advocacy office will get these solicitations from small business, but it's not a program that's driven hard by the administration, but it could be. Think of the good that can be done.
Well, there's so many things that they could do to build this economy back from the bottom up. See, Wayne, small business is going to lead this economy out one way or the other. It's just a matter of whether they do it this year or 6 years from now. Hold on to that thought. Wayne Cruz is our guest, folks. He's with CEI. He and I will be right back. Stay with us.
It'll take time, I know it.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Wayne Cruz, Vice President with the Competitive Enterprise Institute and CEI.org. Right, Wayne?
That's it.
Tell us a little bit about CEI.
Well, we're a market-oriented advocacy and activism group. We've been around. This is our 25th year, as a matter of fact. We're going to have our 25th annual dinner on June 11th. We work
everything
from FDA. That's right. We tend to focus on the regulatory state as opposed to tax and budget, but we still get involved in those. There are a lot of other groups who do those. We focus on regulations impacting small business, industry, and transportation, electricity, and so forth. We're doing a lot of work these days on banking, as you can imagine. So the regulatory state's our emphasis. And then because of that, I do this report every year called 10,000 Commandments. It's a survey of trends and regulation.
Which we've been covering for 10 years or more. And you'll be back with those in a few weeks to talk about those when you get them finished. But, Wayne, clearly we're going to have more regulations.
Oh, clearly.
How are we going to, once we get, and there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. I mean, we're going to have regulations up to our eyeballs. It's going to weigh heavy on the marketplace. It's going to weigh heavy on the recovery of capitalism. It's going to virtually prevent Wall Street from coming back as we've ever known it before. So how are we going to get out from under this heavy hand of regulation that's going to, we all know that it's going to overreach, Wayne. How do we get this fixed?
The optimistic answer is that the pendulum always swings back. You know, that things go too far, that there's a root and branch changeover in the Congress or something like that. But you know, that didn't help before. I mean, even under a Republican Congress, government grew like mad, and a lot of that had to do with 9/11 and the aftermath of that.
Yes.
New regulations that were imposed on things like you know, food processor shipments and chemical plants and nuclear plants and electrical grids and, you know, all these kind of homeland security type rules. But the problem is, since that time, even before we had the Democratic sweep in the office in Congress and so forth, you know, there were huge highway bill, transportation bills passed in Congress, and huge energy bills, and all of those just had numerous regulations on energy efficiency and safety standards and things like that. Anytime government spends a lot, it ends up regulating a lot too, because when government is spending and growing as it has over the past few years, alongside all of the deals that are made to get that spending done, are deals on regulations on the side, on efficiency rules and things like that. And you know, everything now with a tailpipe is regulated, and, you know, your dishwasher and everything that you produce for recreation and so forth, it just goes on and on. All of that's been growing. 9/11 has been a big hit. Now with the economy meltdown, it just doesn't look good. I think it's going to require some kind of regulatory reduction commission to say, okay, we've done these things.
But what kind of a universe, Wayne? What kind of a universe would we have to get into? What kind of a universe would we have to travel to get to where anybody would even have that conversation, let alone make it happen?
Exactly. We've been trying to do it for months, and I'm sure you've recognized that there are at least a couple of people, Mike Pence, Marsha Blackburn, others in Congress, who have been saying.
But their voice is crying in the night.
Yeah, things have to get bad. I mean, yesterday, the market went down to below the level of almost to the level of before my teenager was born.
Yeah,
it's an 11-year low now, and it's unbelievable. Sometimes you have to hit bottom before you can start coming up. Here, I don't know what bottom is, because the problem here is no one takes seriously the idea of deregulatory stimulus that we've been pushing.
Yeah, I don't think I want you to keep fighting this, Wayne, and I applaud
will.
You.
We will.
You know how proud I am of you, but I'll tell you, you got a rough road to hoe. But I do want you to encourage people. Whenever you get a chance, please encourage the folks up there that if they really want to recover. If Obama really wants to be the president that he wants to be. If he would wake up every morning thinking, what can I do to help small business owners, that would do it.
Well, see, that's the question. Every time there's a White House press conference, nobody ever asks the question, but that ought to be the question.
Because they don't care about small business, because all they care about is Wall Street.
That's right, but the basic question ought to be, what are you doing to reduce the
burden? Am I going to have to go get a chair? I'm going to have to go get a chair at the press conference, it looks like, Wayne.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, Wayne, thanks for being here. Good job.
CEI.org,
right?
That's it.
Thank you for being here. Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Small business owners, you and I are going to have to lead this economy out of what we're in right now. Keep your chin up. Keep working. I'm proud of you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.